It's time for Rebel Extra. This is your team, Las Vegas, and we want to hear from you. Call us at 364-1100. That's 364-1100. Now, live from the Finley Toyota Studios, it's Bernie Fratto and John Von Tobel.
Somewhere buried in the deep recesses of what has become the Boulevard of Broken Dreams known as UNLV Run and Rebel Basketball, a milestone has grown to a point of critical mass. Prior to today's game, the Rebels had made at least one three-pointer in 999 straight games. So when Uche Ifeabu drained a three from the baseline at the 17:05 mark in the first half, it made 1,000 games in a row. Well, that was the good news. Unfortunately, that only made the score 7-3. It was in favor of San Jose State as UNLV struggled out of the gate, but basketball is a game of runs, and sparked by a 14-0 run mid-half by the Runner Rebels, the Scarlet and Gray were nursing a 36-31 lead at the intermission. But it fell apart faster than it did for Bill Murray and Stripes. In the second half, the Rebels looked raggedy, harried, and sloppy, and the poised Spartans took advantage, crafting a 9-0 run of their own in the second half. Meanwhile, untimely turnovers and mental mistakes plagued the Rebels down the stretch, and in the end, the visiting Spartans were one play better, holding on for a 76-74 road victory. UNLV falls to 10-16 on the year, 3-10 in conference play, and for the first time in 22 years, they are owners of a six-game losing streak. Welcome back, folks, to another edition of Rebel Extra, the post-game show devoted to you, the fans and supporters of UNLV Runner Rebel Basketball. Rebel Extra is brought to you by our proud sponsors, Angel Park Legacy in Durango Hills. OB Sports' most complete golf course experiences in Las Vegas. Diamondback Land Surveying, from brick walls to the Taj Mahal. Diamondback Land Surveying are your land surveying experts. 8-Ball Bail Bonds. If you had more fun at the game than the law allows, call 8-Ball Bail Bonds to get you out of jail. Pizza My Dear with a smoking lunch deal. 12-inch pizza for only $5 with two locations to serve you. Go to pizzamydear.com. We come to you after every game this season, folks. Want to hear from you. 364-1100. Give us a call. Be part of the action. Or text 69187 in preface with ESPN. Before we go any further, let me introduce my broadcast team. To my left, turning all the dials, keeping us glued together, is producer extraordinaire Bobby Machado. He'll also be taking all of your calls, 364-1100. And to my right, I'm joined by the gentleman, has his own show on our sister station, Fox Sports 1340, every Sunday morning at 8 a.m., and that would be Mr. Brian Feldman. Brian, on January 28th, the Rebels had a 13-point lead up at San Jose State, and in the second half, the Spartans shot 67%. The Rebels were 3-17 down the stretch, and they lost. It was deja vu all over again today, Yogi. The Rebels led by 10 at one point in the first half, thanks to dominating the glass and limiting Brandon Clark to 4 points, and they actually got 13 points off of turnovers. But San Jose State, the more poised team, spread the floor. They created one-on-one matchups. They beat UNLV at every turn, and the Rebels swept by the San Jose State Spartans this year.
Well, first and foremost, San Jose State definitely better than everyone predicted at the beginning of the season. Brandon Clark, one of the best players in the Mountain West Conference, although they limited him to 4 points in the first half, and it seems like they take out the best player, but don't start calling them the New England Patriots to take out the other team's best player.
Hold on. Is this thing on?
Yeah.
The Rebels were swept by the San Jose State Spartans.
I know.
Brian, you're a nice guy, and today we're going to we're not going to mince words today, okay? Look, this is not going to be a bitch fest, but the reality is the reality. And any way you slice it, my man, the Rebels were swept by the San Jose State Spartans this year.
Yeah, Bernie, it was another bad display of basketball. Mistakes, mental mistakes. I talk about the positive. Lost in the shuffle is Christian Jones with a double-double today.
Yes, 7 points, 12 rebounds.
And
yep.
I thought he was as active on the offensive glass as I have seen him this season. And really, really liked that. And in the first half, again, we saw a team that looked like they could come out and win this game. And the thing that's the most scary about this game, Bernie, you say taking the gloves off. Do they have a winnable game left on their schedule?
We're not going to look past that point tonight. The Rebels actually don't play for 8 days, so hold that thought, Brian, because it's a fair question. This is a caller-driven show. What makes the show are the opinions of the fans and supporters of UNLV Runner Rebel Basketball, and the phone lines are lighting up. So let's get to the phone lines. I don't want to keep you folks on hold, and let's begin tonight's festivities with Jose. Jose, welcome to Rebel Extra. What are your thoughts, my friend? Are you there, Jose?
Yes.
You are up first tonight on Rebel Extra. Go ahead.
How's it going?
Lousy.
Yeah, you're telling me, man. I mean, another barn burner, right? But I don't know, man. I think the Rebels got to take this time off right here and try to regroup. I feel that the team is no longer having fun. And I think they just got to go out and just relax. Maybe go on the gym, play a little bit of street ball. You know what I mean? Get back to
playing. Well, they're already doing that on game day.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? They're not playing as a team. And the biggest thing that I've come to see is that teams used to come to the Thomas and Mack, and you can see that they were a bit intimidated in the last couple of years. And this year, it just seems like teams come in here, and like if it's a home game for them, like they're just not intimidated.
Were you at the game
today?
I
was not.
Okay.
Today I did not make it up.
I was there, and I will tell you, 5 minutes before tip-off, I could just about count the people. By the way, the band sounded great. The music, everything was nice energy.
The acoustics are excellent in the Thomas and Mack, and we definitely find that out when there's nobody in there.
Yeah, anyway.
And that's the thing. The last time I called you guys, what did I say to end my call?
Your daughter was traumatized by the performance.
That too. But we need to support this team, man.
Right.
And
well,
it's just
right.
Little by little we're losing that fan base, and that's not good for the program, man.
Right.
No matter what. We got to keep supporting these guys, man. No support, they're not going to come out with heart. They're not going to want to play for a 500-people stadium. You know what I mean? Let's get people in the stadium.
First of all, Jose, always appreciate your calls. You're the voice of reason. Your mouth to God's ears. Yes, we will continue to support the team. I'm a fan. I enjoy coming out there, but I'm not going to be a cheerleader today. Now, I've done this show for 6 years, and I've always tried to maintain my objectivity. When they don't play well, and by the way, the numbers don't lie, okay? The numbers don't lie. Heading into today's game, the Rebels were last in the Mountain West Conference in scoring offense, scoring defense, scoring margin, free throw percentage, on and on. Let's get back to the phone lines. I want the folks to have a chance to weigh in tonight. We're going to have plenty of time to give you, the sad numbers, as it were. Steve, you're up next on Rebel Extra. What are your thoughts?
Guys, I wasn't able to go to the game, but I listen on the radio. Even Priest, when the coach came on before the game start, it's depressing. I mean, it looks like a Division II team playing a Division I. The games I have gone to, that's what it looked like to me. It's the same old stuff. Can't play defense, miscues on defense at critical times, holding on to a ball with 9-11 seconds left to get a last-second shot. It's just all of those mistakes.
Yep.
But I wanted to ask you guys this, that I want to see what your take is. On the game, before the game, when they talked to Mendez, he said the future is bright, but we have to get through this game and this session. And I'm thinking to myself, I hope that means recruiting, that he's got the athletes or he's excited about what he's got, because I can't see the future bright with what we have out there now. But I just wanted to get your idea what you thought.
I think what happened was, Fernando, ZZ Top was in the background, and the song, The Future's So Bright, You Gotta Wear Shades. It's about all best I can tell.
Bernie, this game is indicative of the season of UNLV.
They
have had a half where they show they can play basketball. Even in the second half, there was an opportunity, if you remember, it was a pick and roll off the high ball screen.
Yep.
with Morning and Green. And great recognition. Green got the ball and
canned
a three-pointer, and they showed they can play smart basketball.
Oh, yeah, for one. And by the way, the Rebels led at that point 44-40. I remember that. And of all the threes they jacked up in the first half, many which were long bombs as the clock was running out, the shot clock was running out, that was one of the threes that was off
sense.
A nice play. You're right. I got the same thing in my notes. Back out to the phone lines. Fernando, thanks for hanging on, buddy. You're up next on Rebel Extra.
Yeah, hi, guys. Yeah, well, my prediction was wrong of 18 wins, and now the season's a wash. Now it's about upsetting some teams in the Mountain West tournament. And the game ball, will that ball go into a special case for the 1,000 three-pointer?
Hey, by the way, Fernando, while we're cajoling here, the Rebels have 5 games left. If they win them all and win the Mount West Conference tournament, they'll actually have 19 wins.
Oh, okay.
So you take heart, my friend.
Okay, and about about the only case I think we're going to be diving into tonight is the case of Budweiser. Right. Sponsor Bobby, never mind. Casey, your favorite cold beverage.
And the other thing I wanted to say with Reno getting all happy the other night, you know, that's fine, you know, because we're down this season and they're getting all happy. But I hope when they come to Vegas, hope Air Force or Fresno State beats them in the Mountain West tournament, and then they won't get no NCAA bid. So all that jolly stuff was good for nothing.
All right, Fernando, thanks for checking in tonight.
You know,
take care, buddy.
And I see what Fernando's saying, but, you know, it's one of those games, and Steve Cofield was talking about it on campus before the game, and they were talking about how the atmosphere up in Reno, and it was like one of those games, like a homecoming game in football where you know you're going to win, you put on a show, it's their cross-state rival, and they've got a game where they know they're going to win, so yeah, they really brought out all the bells and whistles. I didn't blame them a whole great deal, and you know what, Bernie? It's almost nice to see a stadium packed to capacity and watching basketball fans go crazy. I had no problem with it. I really didn't. And I think if the tables were turned and down the road here, UNLV gets an opportunity like that, they would do the same exact thing. And no,
that's the way it works. That's the way it works. When they don't like us and we don't like them. And right now they got the possession arrow. Let's go back out to the phone lines. And we are joined by Cameron. Cameron, what are your thoughts tonight on Rebel Extra?
Listen, man, I've called it a couple times. I give you kind of big picture thoughts, you know, ball game thoughts. Tonight, I just got to say, we saw two things tonight, two specific things that no one's ever done in college basketball. One,
okay.
We hit a thousand consecutive games with a three pointer. That was great. The second one, we committed a foul with 1 second left on the shot clock, 75 feet from the basket. That was a highlight of the year for me. Anyways, it's been a tough year, guys. And that foul by Mooring in the backcourt.
Oh, when he dove? 1 second on the shot clock.
Exactly. 75 feet from the hoop. I don't think it's ever happened before. So, go Rebels.
All right, Cameron, appreciate your calls on Rebel Extra. And by the way, we're going to get to all the callers. The phone lines are absolutely jammed. Appreciate the passion. You're all going to get time. Bear with us.
Yeah, Bernie. You know, I 100% see what he was saying, but in the same respect, it's UNLV basketball right now, and you know, I agree with Fernando a minute ago. Somehow you got to keep supporting them, and I'm trying to be a positive voice here, but there's nothing to look at right now that is positive based on what we saw the way that game ended. It is indicative of their season, and hey, we'll keep going out the call-ins. Who's next, Kevin?
Yeah, let's go back out to the phone lines. We're joined by Kevin. Kevin, how are you tonight, buddy?
What's up, fellas?
Go ahead. You're up, buddy.
I'll buy either of you lunch if Jalen Poizer is not transferred by May 1st. What happened to him?
I will tell you this. I sat in my usual spot tonight, about 6 feet from Dick Calvert, name drop, and then about 6 feet from Marvin Menzies, another name drop. I wanted to listen to him, Coach. Couple minutes into the game, when San Jose State jumped out to a 7-0 lead, I saw Poizer on the bench, and he yelled at his teammates. He goes, "Let's go! We are not going to lose to these guys." And so he's still engaged, but his shot has gone missing. And I'm going to go buy a carton of milk tonight, see if we can put his picture on a carton of milk, and someone can find his shot, because it is gone, Kevin. His offensive game is gone.
But still, if you have a good attitude, Bernie, and you defend, usually you'll get minutes in a college game. There's got to be more to it. Not just
they're looking for offense, buddy. The numbers are moribund. The Rebels, they missed 33 shots again tonight. 13 more three-pointers they missed. They missed 10 more free throws. They out-rebounded San Jose State. There were other numbers there. More bench points, more second chance points. But this team is the gang that can't shoot straight, Kevin. And Kevin, you're one of the most knowledgeable basketball players or basketball people I've talked to in my, in my life. You can see it. Now, maybe you know something about Poizer I don't know. The guy I'm curious about is, where the hell was Troy Baxter tonight? Is he in the doghouse, or what is it this time? Is it a stomachache?
The hangnail.
Right. Is it bunions acting up? What is it?
I don't know. You guys are journalists. I'm not. I would love, off the record, for you or your co-host there to be able to ask Tina Kunzer-Murphy this question. Do you regret, and did you make a mistake, and do you realize that you set the program back 4 years? I mean, now, she would not answer the question, but the answer to that is yes. The D1 coaches across the West Coast, They're laughing at UNLV right now. Yeah. They're the laughing stock. They said,
well,
come on, guys. We got to be realistic. Can't be positive all the time, right?
Well, it's not a matter of being positive. I don't know that we're a laughing stock, but I'll tell you what, Kevin, hold that thought. I give you credit. 2 weeks ago, you said this would be a defining week because if you get beat by San Jose State twice, the dynamic of this program changes. The phone lines are jammed, so we've got to move on. But if Jalen Poyser transfers May 2nd, can I still have lunch?
Yes, sir.
All right. Maybe I can get fries with that, too. Yeah. I don't eat fries, actually.
Yeah, just keep in mind, as we talk about this again, and you talk about the missed shots, Bernie, again, they didn't do anything to improve their number of just being barely over 50% shooting from around the basket. And that is the biggest, to me, the biggest head-scratcher of the year is how a team consistently misses short shots, layups.
343rd in the nation out of 351 teams. They're right around 51. They're intimidated.
It's amazing.
It's between their ears. They go up. They maybe expect whatever the case may be. The phone lines are jammed, and this is what we want to focus on tonight. Back out to the phones. We are joined by Mike. Mike, thanks for your patience. You are next up on Rebel Extra.
You know, I'm not a UNLV fan. You know, I listen to you guys all the time and all the ESPN stations. So, but I listen to this, all the Rebel stuff every day, and it's just amazing to me how this team, quote, half to half is just, they play one half of basketball, and it's phenomenal.
So
and then they come out the second half, and they just fall apart.
We have talked about that, Mike, the variance of play and the inconsistency. Continue on.
You know, it's just, for me, I don't understand that. And like you said, I mean, is it coaching? Is it, you know, how, is it free throw? You know, is it not enough in practice where their percentages are just horrible? I don't understand.
I think it's
it
a talent issue, Mike. I'll tell you why I say that. The Rebels came out with a game plan to pound the ball down low. In their first possession, they had a pretty good possession. They run a little scripts. Try that again in English. They ran a little slip screen to Christian Jones and a curl, and he went up, and Brandon Clark comes out of nowhere and blocks it like a big-timer. Other teams have better players. It's as simple as that. You get the final word, Mike. We got to move on. Go ahead.
Well, no, and that's fine. And like I said, the variance of play is just, for any Rebel fan, would just blow my mind.
All right, Mike, I appreciate you checking in on tonight's show.
Very frustrating, and I completely understand and sympathize with what Mike is saying, but again, it is, you have to take into account that when Marvin Menzies took this job in April, and I'm not making excuses, three players returned. It is a completely rebuilt team, and as Bernie said, that is the big issue. It is a talent issue. And I'm not saying that Marvin Menzies and this team shouldn't be held accountable. But again, what I want to hear from people is, what did they expect to see this year from the Rebels? What did you expect?
Fair enough. Back out to the phone lines. We're joined by Matt. Thanks for your call, Matt. Let's go to Z. Did I pronounce that correctly? Is it Z?
Yes, that is, that's when Grandpa's cough syrup.
Cough syrup on sale here on Saturday nights.
It might be. I mean, somebody obviously drank their way through the game, and I can understand that tonight. But, you know, moving, you know, into this game and taking a look at it, Bernie, really three Rebels were involved in this game when I watched it, and that's it. And, I mean, you know, Mooring is always involved, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. Terrell Green, as good off the bench as he's been all year, really a spark plug to
tonight.
This team.
Best game of
huge
the year.
Game. Yep. And, again, I'll go back to Christian Jones. To be active on both sides like that, offensively and defensively, on the glass, was a big difference tonight in the game for him, a double-double. But other than those three tonight, I just don't understand it. I don't know what buttons to push.
And the Rebels did out-rebound San Jose State 38-29, but San Jose State shot 53% from the field and 54% from behind the arc. By the way, they made their free throws, only missed three, 81% from the charity stripe, probably the difference in the game. Back out to the phone lines. We're joined by Mike. Mike, thanks for your patience. You're up next.
Bernie, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to say that all I expected from this crew was to see if they could coach this team and be better today than they were in November.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that. I expect going forward them to attack each and every game as if it's their last. They only have one game left, in my view, and that's the next game.
Mm-hmm.
Just go out and win the one game.
Mm-hmm.
Do that one at a time. There is no team in the Mountain West that is physically more capable than these guys are. These guys, this is a weak conference. There's nothing stopping these guys except their own self and their crew, their coaching crew, from going out and forgetting about the past. Don't worry about the future. Play one game at a time and win. It's possible.
It sounds good, Mike, and I don't want to dispute anything you're saying, but in reality, when the rubber hits the road and they get on the floor, I'm just curious, have you been to any of the games in person this year, Mike?
Absolutely.
Okay, good, sir.
Absolutely. Oh,
so here's the situation. Tonight, or this afternoon, I always get there early. I'm watching the body language and pregame warm-ups, and I got to tell you, San Jose State had a bounce on their step. They look happy. They look confident. The Rebels, not so much. They didn't. San Jose State got out to a lead. Rebels had their run, but it all started to flip when the little things showed up, and San Jose State outworked the Rebels again. And I think doubt has been inserted, Mike. I'm going to give you the final word, but doubt has been inserted with this young group of basically inexperienced athletes, and it's not a stellar talent pool. I'm sorry, it's not. I've seen enough. We're 23 games into this now, or whatever we're at. 26 games, excuse me. And I think it's a situation where their inability to react properly after something goes wrong is now had a cumulative effect. You got the last word, and I got to get to the other calls.
And you're making my point, because what I'm saying, this is not, they're not challenged physically. It's a mental thing. And I'm saying they need to change their mind, move forward, and get better. Thank you.
Hope to hear from you again, Mike.
Chris Wynn just texted in, and to answer my question, I was asking, what did we expect? And he said a lot expected, Brian, to be better than a 10-win team and not get swept by the likes of programs like San Jose State. And that's a very valid point, Bernie, and what you brought up earlier. I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm saying San Jose State is a lot better team than I expected at the beginning. This kid, Brandon Clark, is as good as anybody in the conference, and other teams like San Diego State are not as good as I expected. But, you know, to say that we got swept by San Jose State, I can understand that being something at the beginning of the year, say, wow, that would be terrible if it happened. It's just agreeing with Mike, the next game is all we have to look to.
I'm
right
not
now,
disrespecting Brady. San Jose State, but they were 5-49 the last 3 years in the Mountain West Conference, and they have developed an alpha dog in Brandon Clark, and frankly speaking, for a while we thought it would be Poyser, maybe Green, maybe Chris Jones, now, and then Javon Mooring. The Rebels don't really have that go-to guy of the consistency of a Brandon Clark. Back out to the phone lines. Jim, thanks for your hanging on tonight. You are up next on Rebel Extra.
I'm assuming it's Tim. I'm assuming maybe he's got that wrong, but just take my call, guys.
Yeah, thanks,
okay.
Tim. It's very good.
Yeah, thanks, man. Listen, I want to first off thank all the boosters that ran Dave Rice out of town. I want him gone. Thanks. Now we're in this position. My concern right now is with the coach, and we all know what he's been brought into in the situation. However, what I'm seeing is great coaches like we've seen here with Lon Kruger. What they do is they win the second half. Guys, we're getting our butts kicked in the second half. It's not even close. So the adjustments that are being made, I'm not questioning his talent or his coaching ability, but then again, I guess I am. I mean, we are just absolutely getting killed. And then lastly, I don't know what else to do with what's going to happen here in the future with the Rebels. I'm concerned about the recruiting that's going to happen. We're supposed to be a basketball program, and it's just tanking. Thanks for taking my call, guys. Take it easy.
All right, Tim.
I think it's an excellent point. Second half adjustments in sports are absolutely vital. And UNLV has this year shown that they're not making good halftime adjustments at all. We've seen it in a number of games. And it is, I've never seen a team more Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde than this UNLV team. Two different teams from half to half. But again, it is a talent situation, and I'm not completely letting Marvin Menzies off the hook. We do need to see improvement, Bernie. This is something that you asked last time I did the show 2 games ago. What would I expect? And I said improvement. I expect to see improvement. That's the big question. Are we seeing improvement? I don't know how to answer that question because things like I saw tonight, Christian Jones, although he's a senior, I saw great improvement. I saw a hungry guy that was cleaning the glass on either side of the arena. But when it's all said and done, you've got to come out and be able to play in the second half, Bernie, and close out basketball games, and this team just can't do it.
Somewhere in the middle. They're not executing what he's calling, I can tell you that. In the first half, the Rebels, 38 seconds to go, Mooring gets the ball, dribbles around for 33 seconds again, jacks up a 30-footer. That's an air ball. You know, let's go back out to the phone lines. Just play back the tape. Alan, thanks for your patience tonight on Rebel Extra. You're up next.
Yeah, guys. The last play of the game, we had about 12 seconds left.
I got it written down. Yep. Go ahead.
And we'd take it all the way down the court, and coach does not call a timeout. This basketball team does not have a basketball IQ smart enough to run a last play under down by 2 points and successfully execute anything. I don't know why he didn't call the timeout. He had 2 timeouts left.
That's a great point. I mean, it really is, Bernie. I mean, that makes a tremendous amount of sense, Alan. I agree 100%. Now, looking back at that, about 13 seconds, just under 13 seconds to go, and they ran down, waited way too long again to make the play, and Mourning ran in and took an
That's a fair observation, yeah. Alan. Stay on the line. So, you know, here's what a cynical person might say. Fortunately, I'm not cynical. You call timeout. Menzies calls up a play. Mourning dribbles around. And he backs up, and he jacks up a 38-footer, and he either banks it in or he misses. I mean, pick your poison. I can tell you, the coach, this staff is coaching their butts off. I hear what they're saying. The seal off the defender. Go get to the shooter. I'm stammering and stuttering here simply because it's somewhere in the middle. Your point is valid. Perhaps they should have called timeout. They had two. They run a play, see what defense San Jose State is in, call a second timeout. You got 5 valuable seconds to win a game or take a shot. I think your point is valid and your observation is acute. Is it too simplistic, though? That's just one. The Rebels had a 10-point lead earlier in the game. Let's talk about how they surrendered that.
Yeah. Going back on that last play, I'd call the timeout. I wouldn't even put the ball in Jovan's hands at that point. I'd put in number 10, and I'd give him the ball and tell him to run the play because I know what Jovan's going to do. He's going to sit there and wait for the clock to run down and either hoop up a three or just take a desperation in the lane. I mean, you know what Jovan's going to do. You got to take him out of the equation.
But he's won games for the Rebels, and if you're the coach and it's your paycheck on the line and you see what he's done, yes, it's unorthodox, yes, it's idiosyncratic and crazy, and there's nothing cohesive about it, but he's canned some big shots. So, again, your point is valid. It's just a matter of what do you really do when he's actually been the alpha dog to this point. Otherwise, they wouldn't even have beaten Air Force. They would not have beaten Wyoming without Javon Mourning's contributions, and he played a good game in New Mexico too. I mean, they could be winless in the Mountain West Conference without this guy. You get the last word, Alan.
But I think the observation is you can see the game tonight Jovan was playing.
Uh-huh.
He didn't have that same mojo he had against Air Force. I mean, we had the turnover, and he fouled the guy with 1 second left
that
on the shot
goofy.
Clock.
That, you know what? I banged my head against the wall when I saw that, but at the same time, he was 4 of 4 from the free throw line, had 18 points, he had 8 assists. And so, I mean, was he great? No, but was he horrible?
No.
He was Jovan, that's who he is.
But your guy tonight was Green. Why don't you get the ball in his hands with the last shot? He was the man tonight.
He Green hit the clutch three to tie the game in 74.
So why don't you call the timeout and get the ball in his hands? He's the man tonight, not Jovan.
All right. Alan, hope to hear from you again before the season's out. The only thing about that is hindsight's always 20/20.
I'm not
disavowing what he said. I just hindsight's always 20/20.
No, I'm not disagreeing with Alan whatsoever, but exactly what you said, Bernie. Jovan is Jovan, and there's a bonehead player for sure on a great game that he is going to have. And going into break, Bernie, I'm just going to say that also it wasn't just Jovan. What about Poyser with about a minute and 40 seconds left to go in the game? And you talked about where he's been. You know, they get the ball back. Very, very fortunate. San Jose State, Mitchell standing on the sideline right in front of the UNLV bench. They get the ball back, and then Poyser goes down with a full shot clock and jacks up a three. These are the decisions that keep being made, and I don't get it.
He's Brian Feldman. I'm Bernie Fratto. We've got producer extraordinaire Bobby Machado taking all your calls tonight. Callers have been superb. The Rebels fall today. Disappointing loss to San Jose State, 76-74. Sixth loss in a row. First time in 22 years the Rebels have lost 6 games in a row. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back on the other side, I'm going to talk a little bit about why I believe that their first half lead was fraudulent in the first place. Don't go away, folks. You're listening to Rebel Extra.
Text the show by sending ESPN to 69187 or give us a call at 364-1100. This is Rebel Extra.
Wrapping it up on Rebel Extra, ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM, Bernie Fratto, Brian Feldman, Rebels fall 76-74. Just prior to break, I made the statement that I thought the first half lead was fraudulent. I'm going to explain why. Well, Fabu hits a three at 17:05 to get the Rebels on the board. They trailed 7-0 at that time. A couple of minutes later, Mooring a long bomb three as the clock is running out to make the score 13-12. 2 minutes after that, Mooring another baseline three. He was completely blanketed, forced it up, and it went in. And then Tyrell Green hits a three. It was a total bailout, about a 22-foot three-pointer, as the clock was literally expiring with a minute 30 to go to make the score 34-29. 4 three-pointers, Brian, 12 points. It wasn't until the second half, as you talked about earlier, when Tyrell Green hit that three off a pick and roll and a high, coming off a high ball screen, that was a pretty-looking play that was what I would consider a legitimate in-sync, you know, offensive set.
A basketball play, Bernie. That's all that was. It was a good Division I basketball play. We need to see a lot more of that. And as you mentioned, when Jones put us up by 10 points, put UNLV up by 10 points, 26-16, you know, right after that, San Jose State ends about a 5.5-minute scoring drought. And I believe it was Clark hit his second points of the first half, and it makes it 26-18. But UNLV relinquished that lead, and that's what they have problems. They get up by double digits in the first half, where you think this is when you put the pedal to the metal, and they take a backseat, they slow down, and they start playing street ball again.
And I will tell you, even though San Jose State fell behind by as much as 10 in the first half, the Spartans kept their poise, and the Rebels looked like a team with frayed nerves. Every time there was a foul, they complained. At one point, Zion Morgan wanted a foul called against him, and give Coach Manchie's credit, he yelled at Zion and said, "Zion, get up. You fell. Don't beg for a foul. Get up and play. You fell." So we're going to take our final break of the evening. When we come back, tour around the Mountain West, give you some scores, look ahead to San Diego State, and our final comments and thoughts on today's game. Don't go away, folks. Still more Rebel Extra to come. Back on Rebel Extra, ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. I'm Bernie Fratto. He is Brian Feldman, Bobby Machado producing, wrapping up the show. UNLV falls 76-74. But, Brian, that wasn't the only game played today in the Mountain West Conference.
Now, looking around the Mountain West Conference, a couple of games, Fresno State at Colorado State. Colorado State winning big, 78-62. And Boise State taking sole possession of the Mountain West Conference lead. They're up by a half a game now as they won 76-66 and take a half a game lead over Reno. Also tonight going on right now at the D. Glenn Smith Spectrum in Logan, Utah, Wyoming is at Utah State, and that game is 3-0 very early on in the action with the Aggies in front.
Great callers tonight. One of the prevailing themes has been the inconsistency of this team. The Rebels didn't nurse a first half lead. Why? Well, they did dominate the glass, especially the offensive glass. They did a good job double teaming, sometimes triple teaming, and trapping Brandon Clark. He held him to 4 points. And the Rebels forced some turnovers and got 13 points off those turnovers, so they led 36-31 at the intermission. Brian, why does it go so badly in the second half? Let's get your thoughts.
Bernie, that's a question right now. I could be a millionaire if I could answer that, and I'm sure Marvin Menzies would love to tap my brain and figure it out. Bernie, I go down to the same thing, the skill set. I think there's adjustments made at halftime. I'm sure Marvin Menzies doesn't go in and sit on his hands at halftime. I just think that the other teams in the Mountain West Conference have a better talent pool right now on their team, and they're able to execute better in the second half. And I just think UNLV, for lack of a better term, they have mental lapses in the second half, and they forget what they're supposed to do. I mean, what else can you call it when the same mistakes are made game in and game out? And again, the one thing that, Bernie, we're all scratching our head over here in Las Vegas and will be forever, is how do you miss these short shots under the basket? That, to me, is a question. I'd like to figure that out amongst everything else. How can you be so bad percentage-wise right underneath the basket
is
in Division
I? Is it possible they anticipate contact, and so as such they alter their shot, and they're just simply not mentally tough enough to overcome it? I don't know. I don't know there's any simplistic answer. I do know this. Even when the Rebels led, I'm going to repeat it, and I'm going to live with it. The offense looks clunky to me. They're continually bailing themselves out by crazy threes. They had five of them in the first half, and that's sort of what keeps them in the game. And defensively, they did play with some physical attitude today for a while, but in the end, it was not enough.
You know, and I'm gonna revert back to one other thing real quickly with John. What John, you said John Grimala said about Troy Baxter Jr. I still need a better explanation why he's not getting more time. I don't see practices, but still need a better explanation.
That's going to do it for tonight's edition of Rebel Extra. On behalf of my broadcast team, Brian Feldman, and producer extraordinaire Bobby Machado, I'm Bernie Fratto, bidding you good night. Next up for the Runner Rebels in 8 days, a week from tomorrow, a 1 o'clock game at San Diego State. Should be quite a show, if you know what I mean. So we'll see you then. In the meantime, tonight's final score, San Jose State Spartans 76, UNLV Runner Rebels 74. Good night, folks. Thanks for listening. Callers, you were terrific. I appreciate your efforts and your passion. Go Rebels, and we'll see you next time.